The West Live. The West Live with Ben O'Shea.
Mark Duffy.
By golly gosh.
And Glenn Quarterman.
Wow-wee.
Together, they are Duff and Quarters.
You know who.
Joining me now in the studio at Duff and Quarters. And Quarters, you're just shaking your head at me then. You don't do replays anymore.
No, extra time now, mate.
No, extra time.
Great interview with Mike Brady. And God bless Mike Brady. I hear that song and that warm, fuzzy feeling comes all over me from 1978, 77, when I was just a kid. You can feel in his voice, can't you, how much he loves footy and what an anthem.
And for especially for an Englishman to have written, you know, Aussie Rules' greatest anthem.
Yeah.
There was a great film clip that went with it too, wasn't there, in the early days? And that was part of the song's appeal. There was all these screamers being taken.
Oh, yeah.
I think there was, you know, Brian Wood was one of them.
Graham Teasdale was another one.
Yeah, Trevor Barker would have been there somewhere in slow motion, sort of launching himself.
Trevor Barker about six times, I think, in the many he took.
And, you know, the old VFL Grand Final, the tradition was up there Cazaly got played and Waltzing Matilda.
Yeah, and various versions of Waltzing Matilda too. There have been a few curious versions over the years, some of them really good.
Tina Arita did a great version of Waltzing Matilda.
Oh, really?
And, you know, I remember that was 95, Carlton Geelong, and I remember her coming off the ground and I was sitting in the grandstand above where she was walking off and she was punching the air like she was that important to her and she nailed it.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. We should take the same approach as they do in American sports where they give the person who sings the anthem a bit of license to, they can make it sort of a bit funky, they can make it a bit of an R&B, do it a cappella, and really, you know, hold those notes and just push it out there. It means you never know what you're going to get. We play it too safe, I reckon, with the anthem.
Oh, yeah, just not Roseanne, mate.
Exactly. And keep Meatloaf as far away as possible from proceedings.
Bruce Springsteen does an acoustic version of Born to Run, which is actually better than the other version, which is hard to believe when you know what a great song Born to Run is, but that, it's always great to hear a great song played differently.
Well, let's talk about the GF. How worried were you fellas yesterday when you heard Roger Cook was giving a COVID update?
I was worried. I was. I just stopped in my tracks and said a few prayers, and thankfully looks like we've dodged a major bullet there.
Yeah, well, it was to be expected, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
It was almost expect that this year. So I think I'll be crossing my fingers. I think every time Gillon McLachlan talks about this week, he's reaching for wood. He actually grabbed some paper at the press conference the other day because there was no wood and paper was the next best thing. I'm going to interview Gillon today at 10:30. I was thinking I might take some wood with me.
Take it, Duff. Anything.
Well, surely now we're getting to the point where we're too close. You just cannot be cancelled at this point.
Well, the game was cancelled on the... I don't want to put the moz on anything, but there was a game cancelled on the day this year. So, fans were not allowed.
I was inside the stadium when that happened. So let's just, I was already there.
Let's just get there. Let's just get the bounce down. Let's just do that, please.
Yeah, exactly. That bye week is not, it's not looking like
I can't see them sending them home at halftime.
No.
If we get to the halfway mark, you'll
relax. I understand the reasons people saying should have had it played and done last week. I really like the bye week. I really hope they stick with it post-COVID because I like this two-week period.
And so where's the preparation for both the teams out at the moment?
Well, the Dogs came out of quarantine, so they're in full bloom now. They're training mainly at Mineral Resources Park. I'm told by a few Eagles people it's driving them mad because they're watching another team do what they, you know, every team wants to be doing. So, and the D's just, you know, doing their stuff either at Optus Stadium or up at Joondalup. Stephen May looks like he'll play. Alex Keith looks like he'll play. You'd expect Cody Waitman to come in for the Bulldogs as well.
He's absolute lock, Waitman.
They'll make a couple of changes. I'm not sure that the D's will be making any changes at all, and certainly only one, if any.
I think there'll be any to the D's. Waitman and Keith come in. There's going to be some unlucky stories. Is it Johannesson? I think maybe not now, but Norm Smith medalist the last time the Dogs won a flag, he's no lock at the moment. So they've got a couple of decisions to make.
Teams will be announced today. Are you expecting it tonight?
So,
and what sort of access are you guys getting to them? Are you watching the trainings and stuff like that?
So Craig O'Donoghue and Eliza Riley have been handling most of this stuff. I think it's been okay. I think the AFL will be working very hard to make sure there's very good access at those public training sessions tomorrow.
And what will we see at those training sessions?
Not much.
Yeah.
The closed sessions, they'll work on whatever they have to do.
It's just a bit of kick to kick and that's about it?
Yeah, pretty much. It's make an appearance. Yeah, it's not like the old days when they used to do these sparkling skill drills and, you know, they used to show off a bit to the crowd. And because every now and again in those days, the coach would get a bit excited by the crowd roaring because they used to get 5,000 or 10,000 people watching them train. And I think there was one famous one where Tommy Hafey, you know, they were running the ball up and down the ground and the crowd was roaring at Victoria Park and he ran the arses off them and they had nothing left for the game.
That won't be happening.
No, that will not be happening.
There is an open training session for both, let's call it an open training appearance for both teams tomorrow. Yeah. So everyone can come along, all the kids will be there.
And what do they do, just come out one after the other?
They'll introduce them, I think.
They'll do some skill drills, yeah. They'll probably run a lap, you know, sort of like just for the sake of running a lap. They'll break off into different groups. There'll be some skill drills. There might be some minor ball movement drills, but there won't be anything too strenuous.
They're kicking some goals?
Yeah, probably.
Well, they'll have a couple of pings of goal. There won't be any contested work, put it that way. They'll be leaving that well alone at this time of the week.
All right, so now we're getting to the pointy end of this whole situation. Who are you liking? How do you think the game will go? Will it be close?
You know, the most simple thing you can say, and it's true of all grand finals. You look at Frio in 2013, kick straight, because these teams are evenly matched. The team that kicks straighter will probably win the game.
Yeah.
It sounds simplistic, but they're so evenly matched, these two teams. The moment, the nerves, everything comes into it, kick straighter and you will probably win this game. And for me, I don't like the one game in 28 days for the D's. I actually really like the Western Bulldogs build-up. But I'm going to stick with the D's. I just think they're just bat a little bit deeper, and I'm trusting that Max Gawn will be able to control the game from the middle, and that'll be really, really key to this result. And I won't tell you what I'm going to pick them by, because we'll probably do that in the podcast. But, the D's for me.
What about you, Doug?
Yeah, once you've seen the D's play the way they played in the preliminary final against Geelong, it's hard to go past them. And watching them live is always a little bit more compelling than seeing them play on TV. So the Bulldogs were incredibly impressive against Port Adelaide, but they were on TV. The D's just look like like a well-oiled machine. This is going to come down to execution. I don't see any stunning coaching moves or anything like that. It's going to come down to which group of players execute on the day. I think the ace in the hole for Melbourne is Max Gawn. If Max Gawn gets hold of Steph Martin, then Tim English is going to have to come into the ruck. That's going to disrupt the Doggies forward line, and that may make them a lot less potent. And the D's have such a powerful defence, they may be able to keep them to a score that will not enable them to win.
You know, a little subplot to it too is Goodwin has coached from the bench all year, the Melbourne coach, whereas Beveridge likes to control things from up in the box. So it'll be one up in the box and one down on the ground, unless Goodwin decides to change it, which I don't think
it's unusual, right?
I don't think a coach has ever coached a grand final win from the ground. Probably been out there late. They always go out there late in the last quarter if they're in control, but it hasn't happened before, to my knowledge. So interesting approach from Goodwin. It's worked for him this year, so he trusts his lieutenants upstairs, because no doubt you get a better view of what's going on from up there than you do from down.
And I think Simon Goodwin, unless appearances are very deceiving, he's a very calm and measured persona with the players. So he's able to give them good feedback and keep them positive as they're coming on and off the ground. If you're a more mercurial sort of coach, a Ross Lyon type, it's probably better to have that buffer zone between you and the players.
So you can have those emotional outbursts in the sort of privacy of your coaching box.
Someone can deliver a translated version of what
I think Bevo might have a crack at times too.
Well, that may be why he's in
you
the
see,
box.
You see them on the phone and you can lip read, and you know it's like they're giving someone a spray, slam the phone down, and then probably the assistant on the sideline is saying, "Oh yeah, the coach just reckons, just, you know, give it 5% more."
No, it's diluted from the assistant to the runner, and then the runner dilutes it a little bit further when he gets out there.
My brother actually did a pre-season at South Fremantle back in the days when Mel Brown was coach and Mark Jackson was playing. And Brett got injured in the pre-season, so he had to run during a pre-season game. And Mel Brown sent him out to give Mark Jackson a message. He was told to deliver it word for word, and it was basically, with expletives deleted, "You are soft, you are weak, you are a girl, you need to go a lot harder."
Which is a big compliment these days.
And he ran out, and his message And the way he delivered it was, Brownie says you need to go a bit harder. And then he got the hell out of there.
All right, so you're not going to give me a score, but would you reckon, will it be close? Can we at least look forward to...
I'm saying within two goals.
Oh, yeah, awesome.
I'll go 77 to 72, Max Gorn, Norm Smith medalist.
Okay, I'm going to go Cozzy Pickett for the Norm Smith, only because I just watched him live the other day, and you don't get an appreciation of some players till you see them live. He is so quick. He's made... for a Norm Smith medal, only needs to touch it 12 times to kick three or four and assist a couple of others. So he could be a bit of an X factor.
Yeah, and if you want, of course, the full rundown on the grand final with your expert analysis, you can find the game, Duff and Quarters podcast. Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll be recording it today with your mate, Mark Reddings, as soon as you walk
straight
out of the studio.
Straight out of here into there.
Oh, we'll get off and get doing it, and thanks, we'll talk to you next week.
Good on you.